Hello and welcome to the Eisner Amper podcast series. With clients of all sizes across all industries, we're always interested in the latest trends and developments, as well as any related business and accounting opportunities and challenges.
I'm your host, Dave Plasko, and with us today is Robert Katz, a managing director in Eisner Amper's financial advisory services practice.
In this episode, we'll talk about some of the issues surrounding the bankruptcy process. Hopefully, it's information you'll never require, but you'll be so glad you have it should the need arise. Robert, welcome and thanks for being here.
Dave, it's great to be with you and thanks for having me.
What are three questions a CEO should ask himself or herself if they're considering bankruptcy?
Or it's not only bankruptcy, but profit improvement and operating improvement. That's a big part of our business. So what do I want to accomplish at the end? What's the goal? To me, whenever you go into restructuring, performance improvement, or anything, what are you trying to accomplish? Do you have the financial resources to do it? Do you have a runway? And do you have the operating expertise and roadmap to get there? And I always say when I talk about financial resources, it's like if you do home improvements and run out of money halfway through the project and the kitchen's half done and the bathroom's half done and it's not functioning, it's a big problem. So you want to make sure you have the resources before you go in.
So what are the keys to a successful restructuring?
So I have in my mind there are four keys. There's more than that, but one is the vision, right? Successful businesses have a vision and an understanding, again, of what they're trying to accomplish and how are they getting there. Two, it's the human capital, right? I've written articles that says if you don't have enough human capital or the right human capital, you'll never have enough working capital, right? You have to have the right people to accomplish success. You have to have the resources and commitment, whether it's operations, whether it's a service business, the resources are important, and the ability to execute, right? Not everybody's going to be a soldier, not everybody's a general, but you need the proper mixture of both to make it happen.
Okay. Now, without mentioning any names, of course, but have you had any interesting client case studies lately? And if so, what was the outcome?
So I can give you my most recent and probably one of my favorites. And that is, so we started with a manufacturing distributor when they were in bankruptcy. 2008, the world was collapsing. They got money from a private equity fund to open up retail stores, which wasn't part of their vision, and so they did it, and it failed. So they went through a bankruptcy so we could jettison the retail stores. They focused on manufacturing distribution, what they really did well. We got them, we found them a new lender, which is part of our practice, to make sure the financing's in place. And in the last 6 years, 09, so 7 or 8 years, actually, they grew their business from $30 million to $130 million and just sold it for a valuation in the $50 to $60 million range. And that happened last week.
Okay. So it was a story with a happy ending.
It was not happy, but but an awesome ending. And look, the true entrepreneurs is they're still looking about the next level, not what to do with the money they've just received.
Right, right. And so it goes to show that bankruptcy doesn't have to be the death knell of your entrepreneurialism.
Right. It's like I said, it's about the plan. When the client went in, we knew why they were going in. We had a short timeline on what we wanted to accomplish. We talked to the creditors beforehand so they understood why. We knew most would not be happy. So how are we going to repair the damage that was done over time? Mm-hmm. And you had an entrepreneur who was terrific. He handled all the tough questions, didn't duck anything, mm-hmm. and resonated throughout. And now they're just doing terrific.
Good. Now, what about the post-bankruptcy phase? That might be a phase that when people are going into bankruptcy or considering bankruptcy, they don't really think about that end of the process. But tell us a little bit about that.
Right. So to me, the important things are you're going to need time to recover. So when you come out, you're still going to have the bankruptcy or restructuring stigma. And how do you deal with it? How do you re-nurture the relationships, thank your customers and vendors for working with you, and understanding that it's going to take time. Right? Nothing happens overnight. Nothing happens as quickly as we want it to, but it's times and patience. As somebody once said to me, it's like turning the Queen Mary. It'll happen. Mm-hmm. It just takes time.
And is that part of your charge as a business advisor to maneuver that ship through the post-bankruptcy phase as well?
It is. And look, the client I was telling you, one of the things that we do is my relationships are 4, 5, 6 years, where after we've, whether it's in or out of bankruptcy, whether when we've helped them with the intensity of a project, we keep providing consulting services to help them hopefully grow.
So you're really integrated with those entrepreneurs and business people.
Yes.
Talk about different industry niches. Do you approach the process differently for different business sectors?
There are some, but at the end, and not-for-profits always have a different dynamic, because
sure,
when you're mission-driven, it's different than when you're totally financial-driven. But as I said to somebody, not-for-profit doesn't mean not for cash. So if you don't generate cash, you can't support the mission. And it's all about the operations and generating cash flow. Again, whether it's a service, a manufacturer, the retailers, mm-hmm, the not-for-profits.
Okay.
So the industry, while some will tell you it's critical, it's less critical.
Okay. Now, it used to be that the number of bankruptcies was a good indicator of the economy. Does that still hold true? And if so, where are we now? What are you seeing?
I'm not sure the numbers are, but look, certain industries, we were just talking about Toys R Us, mm-hmm, and the dynamics of it. So everybody knows retail is struggling. The housing crisis, you know, real estate is somewhere between okay and on the rebound. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's more the industries, especially that affects the ultimate consumer.
If you had to look into your crystal ball, retail obviously has gotten hit really hard with online shopping, and some companies are really, you know, in trouble, Penny's and Sears and so forth. What do you see? What looking down the road, what do you think will happen there?
So some companies are significantly better at being flexible and adapting than others. And how capable is the management team or the executives to be flexible and adapt? And back to what we started is, do you have a runway, financial and otherwise, in place to accomplish whatever your goals are? And I think that becomes, you know, again, some of the most critical things. Do you have the vision? And look, do you have the people that are willing to make the time, the effort, and the commitment to do so? And if you don't, you need to switch them out very, very quickly.
This isn't one of our tax podcasts, but we have been talking a lot about tax reform and regulations that are coming down the road and how that may impact it. What about in your world, in the bankruptcy world, and restructuring? Any regulations on the horizon, anything of a legislative nature that our listeners should know about?
I think with what people are looking at is that, you know, the middle market, non-public bankruptcy or companies is a different animal than large public companies. And so that becomes, is how do you do the huge cases versus consumers versus in between? And I think everybody's cognizant of that, as well as the cost, right? Everything today, a question is always, what's it going to cost? And for the most part, people say whatever it is, it's always too expensive. So how do you keep those things in place, you know, knowing that's something that people are always going to focus on?
Last question. If a company is considering bankruptcy, what should they look for in a business advisor such as yourself? I mean, obviously, you want to be sharp and know the codes and the rules and that kind of thing. But, you know, how much does personality play into it, that you're kind of copacetic with the person? I mean, what if I'm looking for help in that area, what should I look for in an advisor?
So, great question, David. I think, one, it, to me, initially it's empathy, right? You want people that are going to understand what's going on and that you get along with, bond with, maybe too strong. But look, you're going to be working a lot. Most of the time it's in a very intense situation and environment, and you want to surround yourself with people that are going to help you accomplish the goal. And I say it this way. I teach. I'm an adjunct at Temple. Mm-hmm. And I always say there are going to be people that when you go through tough times, whatever they are, it'll come up way bigger than you ever thought possible and way smaller than you ever thought possible. And you never forget both. And when you sit down with people, you however you decide to size them up, you want to make sure you're with people that you think are going to come up way bigger than you ever thought. And if they're not, then that you can tell them that, and they'll accept the commentary without being defensive, right? Because it's not about pointing fingers. It's about how do you get to the goal in the promised land.
Well, I think those are some good words of wisdom to end on. So, Robert, thanks for this great insight and your time.
Dave, thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Eisner Amper podcast series. Visit EisnerAmper.com for more information on this and a host of other topics. And join us for our next Eisner Amper podcast when we get down to business.